Hello, I'm Kara Lawrence. Happy Monday to you. And I'm glad to be joined by two friends this morning who I haven't seen in about 6 weeks from the Kalamazoo Film Society, President Dara Strauss, and longtime member and newsletter writer, Madeline Cimini. Thank you both for coming to talk about the goings on with Kalamazoo Film Society.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
There are four films we can talk about this hour. There's a virtual lobby, but perhaps we'll remind people that anyone can become a member of the Kalamazoo Film Society for a very low cost, and it allows you to access these movies at a price that reminds me of the 1990s, maybe late 80s.
I keep calling it the best deal in town, and it will remain so even in 2022. The price for a ticket with a membership was $7. It will now be $7.25.
Wow. Okay.
And the membership just costs $10 a person. So you quickly make that up in your savings by going to the theater.
Indeed. Indeed.
And how do you apply for a membership? And do you get something in the mail?
Right. You just go to calfilmsociety.net, and you can fill out a form and either send it in with a check or through PayPal. And we are soliciting right now for 2022. It's very easy to do, and we will then send you a little letter kind of summarizing all the films that Madeline writes all of our things for us, our copies. She's just a wonderful writer. She's also vice president, too, of the Film Society.
Well,
I don't know.
I got to roll that into my introductions.
There you go. I know. I thought her intro gets longer and longer. So we couldn't deal with how to wait. Do anything without her. But yeah, so in the mail, you will get a little synopsis of what we've done over the year, as well as your card. And the membership card does have a code on the back, and you just give it to Celebration, and you will get your discount.
I have been seeing some articles lately, concerning articles about theaters, and are people coming back? They seem to be, you know, predicting very dark and dire warning kind of things, but I don't know if you guys do attend a theater and what do you really see?
I do. I saw Dune the first weekend it was here in the IMAX theater during a matinee performance. It was 85% to 90% full, and I'm delighted because I see a lot of people bringing their children to see movies like Encanto or Paw Patrol. And I think some people are still concerned. I would never sit in a movie without a mask. Some people do. But I think people have missed it. But to that point, through Celebration Cinema, our partnership with them, we've actually brought 38 films to Kalamazoo, and we've still got a few weeks left in the year. That could change. That could certainly change. That's a lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, I feel very comfortable. Like you say, I always wear my mask the whole time. I know that they do deep cleaning. They're always right there afterwards to spray down seats, and I think they're still doing all of that. So I feel very comfortable going to the theater.
Well, maybe Kalamazooans will show the way for the rest of the country and how to, you know, bring movies back into your life. Sure, it's fun at home, and I've watched many of your selections from the comfort of my couch. But I'm also very aware of how distracted I can get and, you know, what the pause button, being accessible, can change the experience.
It's interesting that you should mention that. We were going to bring or possibly bring the movie The Humans based on a stage play, and it was here and then it was gone. It never played in Kalamazoo. That evening, I happened to be scrolling through the guide and it was showing on Showtime. I started to watch it that weekend and something happened and I stopped. And then I went back to it, and it's like, no, I've lost the thread to this. Do I just stop? Do I start over? That, well, I'll just stick it out. That was a mistake. And I think kind of insulting to the people who made it.
Right. There's that, and there's also in the theater the big screen. I mean, you cannot not see something so wonderful on a big screen and with great audio, too.
The sound.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. It's just, and you are totally focused. You have no distractions.
You are doing yourself a favor if you're trying something for the first time to see it in an immersive way, and that is in the theater, yeah.
Yes.
I would say. There's also something about being part of the Kalamazoo Film Society that has taken me a little outside my normal Miss Marple sort of choices. Like, if you say it's good, I'll be like, okay, let me try that one, especially if it does have an appeal. I'm sure I'm not alone in that. You know, once you feel part of a group of people who are just have that interest, the chance you might see something you wouldn't put on your list otherwise.
Interesting. You should mention that again, you wonderful interviewer. We brought the Peanut Butter Falcon three or four years ago, and I thought, this isn't a Kalamazoo Film Society film. I saw it on a Sunday afternoon. The theater was packed. I sat next to a group of four 20-something-year-olds, and I said, well, I'm your neighbor. Watched the film. They loved it. And afterward, I asked. I said, you know, I don't want to intrude on your space, but I'm on the board of the Kalamazoo Film Society. Oh, my goodness, you brought this. Thank you. We loved it. And it was fun to experience it through them as well. But, you know, you get out a little outside your comfort zone. Sometimes it's a movie that is a little disappointing. Or you might think, or I certainly think, most films could be a little shorter. And every once in a while.
Is that because you've seen so many?
Maybe.
And you know when a... See, I don't always know when a scene is starting to lag. It's sort of like a... Maybe it's this thing you can't articulate later.
And sometimes it's just at the end. Or there was a film, The Uncut Gems, or Uncut Gems, which a lot of people liked. But there were just a certain scene or two, you know, you could have cut that, you know, you could have da, da, da. And I'm certainly not an editor, I'm not a filmmaker, but it's afterwards that I think, and then there are some films where it's just, I'm quoting Gene Siskel, that's 2 hours of my life I'm never going to get back.
I've heard that before. Well, are there any films you would actually add to? I'm sure, is there an opposite experience you've had?
That I would want to go on longer.
Yeah, doesn't from your expression, I'm thinking
Downton Abbey.
We should talk about the films that the Kalamazoo Film Society is showing at Celebration Cinema. There are, did I say four or five?
There are four, and a fifth one is coming actually this Friday.
Okay, so. And just a reminder to listeners, we're speaking with the president of the Kalamazoo Film Society, Dara Strauss, and the vice president of the Kalamazoo Film Society, Madeline Cimini. So who wants to go first here?
Okay, well, we both have seen Julia, and you don't even have to say her last name, right? You know it's about Julia Child.
I'm already hungry.
I know, and you'll just get more hungry watching this film. Some of the visuals are just stunning. It is a documentary. What I really enjoyed in it is from the journal, and especially when she first meets her husband, Paul, and he meets her, and they really don't. Oh, she's too tall, or she's, you know, that was really quite engaging. But also, it's always, to me, always interesting in a documentary how they begin the film. And this begins, as often they do, in kind of the middle. So you see her with her program on TV, and then it takes you back, and then it takes you forward beyond that. So I found the structure very interesting.
Wonderful music. It starts out with Jimi Hendrix, Let Me Stand Next to Your Fire. That was a surprise. If you saw the movie RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the directors are the same that did this, and they are developing a mark
right.
of just how to do it. But It's a delightful, delightful film.
CalFilmSociety.net shows a summary of the film. It also offers a link to a review, in this case at the Boston Herald. You can watch the trailer and link to showtimes for Julia. And that's true for all the films that we'll be discussing. CalFilmSociety.net. There's also a way to fill out a membership form there, too.
Right.
Julia, as I mentioned before we went on, I feel like I learned everything I know about Julia Child from Meryl Streep. Was it Julia and Julia? Is that how? No, it was.
That was a different one.
Okay.
I think. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Amy.
Yeah.
It was vivid. It's still
Amy
vivid.
Adams playing
Amy Adams.
Woman who wanted to cook every single day something. From the joy of French cooking.
Right,
what a
right.
wonderful idea.
Yeah.
I think I need
stressful
to just I need to get away from that
and
just kind of go to the source here and see the real woman and learn even more, especially if we get to see the cooking. Yum.
Right. Yeah.
Don't go hungry.
Yeah.
So we started with Julia. Mm-hmm. Why don't we move to, I see the French, well, which one is leaving theaters soonest? Maybe we should talk about that.
Perhaps right now everything is showing at least through Thursday, but they haven't posted their schedule, so we don't know.
Right.
And we don't always know until a day or two ahead of time. It's kind of like being on call.
Right. We don't know what's coming, too. We try to keep in touch with the powers to be, but sometimes they don't even know. And it's like, oh, do you want this film? Okay, sure, we'll take that one.
Well,
so
you have to stay in pretty close contact then.
We do, we do. But we are showing still The French Dispatch. And have you seen that? It's a Wes Anderson film, visually stunning film. Do you have some comments
he
on it?
He certainly has a look to his films, an ensemble cast. It was the movie I needed to see on a certain day, and I was prepared to like it, and I liked it even more. I liked some of the stories better than others, but that doesn't, you know, I would not say that's a fault. That's just my opinion,
right.
You know, my take on it. But really, really well done, well written, well acted. With his look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Could you explain what The French Dispatch is? Or is it a message from France?
It was a take on The New Yorker, magazine that had this eclectic and somewhat eccentric group of writers and stories. And I think the town is Ennui, sir, something Ennui, you know, just little funny things, but sweet. And again, just a series of vignette. The through line is the writers. Bill Murray is in it. Mm-hmm. Timothy Chalamet, who's kind of like Adam Driver, is showing up in just about everything. But charming and the movie I needed to see on a certain day. And it changed the way I went about the rest of the day.
Right. And there's so many witty things in the writing. And someone says to me, you almost have to see it twice of any Wes Anderson to pick up all of the witticisms that are in there and the jokes. And it's really...
And also because visually there's so much going on as well that, you're right, that would wear well a second time.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned good music with Julia, and I've noticed he does a very good job of using music as well in his creations, his confections.
Right. Oh. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah,
it feels like that.
Yeah.
It's like a wedding cake.
And cooking, there's a through line through that. The Grand Budapest Hotel, there was cooking. Mm-hmm. There's cooking in this.
Mm-hmm. It's called The French Dispatch, and the schedule is available through the Kalamazoo Films, calfilmsociety.net website. It will lead you to Celebration Cinema showtimes there. You can also read a summary, and there's a link to the New York Times review by A.O. Scott, one of my favorite writers.
Yeah. Mine as well.
Yeah. He's seen a lot of movies and just has a way of lovingly saying this all went wrong or not, you know, or it all went right. And okay, from there, Julia, The French Dispatch. Here's one that it piques my interest as a lover of Irish traditional music, just because it happens to be set in Ireland, and it's called Belfast. Kenneth Branagh, who I thought was English, is making a story about his own life here. Yes,
right. It's a lovely little film. It's just. It takes some time in the Troubles, and instead of showing the Troubles on a large scale, it zeroes in on a family and what they have to do to survive as a family. The child actor is just fantastic in the film. You can't take your eyes off of him. And he said he had such a fun time doing the film, too. Yeah,
I couldn't take my eyes off the mother. Who evidently she's been in the Highlander series, which I've not watched. It's so, so perfectly set. It's in black and white, which is also appropriate. It's, you know, there are sinister aspects to it, but it's about this family. Grandparents, Dame Judi Dench is wonderful. but music... Van Morrison, God, I love his music, but he's turned into an anti-vaxxer knucklehead. I'm sorry. That's disappointing. But the music is great. Is great.
What about the accents? They can be really tricky to comprehend if they're coming fast and furious.
I struggle.
I did too.
Irish,
and the friends I went to with
English,
struggled.
You know, very British sometimes.
There
struggle.
Are even within Ireland. Northern Ireland is very different than other parts of Ireland, and the accents are very different. So, and they just certainly get up to a certain speed, and I'm a few seconds behind.
Right. I think that's true of this, but you kind of just let it wash over you.
Yeah.
When I watch at home, I kind of rely on closed captioning.
Me too.
And you can't do that in the theater, and in some ways that's okay. And like I say, you just kind of, you get more immersed into the film, I think.
We've had a chance to hear about autobiographical film set in Northern Dublin in the 70s. We've heard
60s.
The 60s. Right. I was somehow
this
putting
is Belfast.
Van Morrison in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
In the 60s, we've heard about the cooking legend, Julia Child, a documentary showing now, and The French Dispatch, the latest from Wes Anderson, and a lovely confection, that sounds like. And we have one more to talk about before introducing everyone to the next virtual lobby. So let's cover Wolf.
Well, neither one of us have seen it. I'm going to go see it this afternoon, I think. If you want to join me, we could.
I may.
Okay, we might see it. It's about, a teenager who believes that he's a wolf, that he's trapped in a wolf trapped in a human body, and how his parents deal with that.
And he is put into a conversion group where they try to change him. And George MacKay is the actor who was one of the leads in 1917. And it might be a little bit difficult. I was going to go yesterday with a friend and she said, I can't see that. But it's about how he meets someone and what happens over the course of the story. I don't know. She also thinks she's an animal, you know, has animal spirits. But it certainly is an intriguing idea, and it might be something that somehow likens to other types of therapies mm-hmm. that have been controversial.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps. Mm-hmm. I read the summary, and first that thing that came into my mind was a well-reviewed book from a couple years back where the author did his very, very best to live like a badger, I think it was.
Oh, okay.
Like, who, and wrote a book about the experience, who really dedicated, you know, he went all in. And in that sense, it's sort of a wonderful experiment. You know, what can you learn about just trying to live like another species, a badger? And so someone who thinks they're a wolf, I thought that was the inspiration somehow.
Okay.
But sounds like this kind of goes into a dark, romantic territory.
Perhaps.
What do you think?
After we're off the air, I want to know, why did he choose a badger?
Oh, because he's British. Probably had one in the backyard.
Okay.
I'll have to look it up because, you know, now it might, in my head, it could have been a hedgehog. But
that sounds, yeah, hedgehog. Yeah.
So it's called Wolf. And if you are attracted to, you know, more dark and dramatic things. It also stars, let's see, Lily Rose Depp, mm-hmm. George McKay, as you said, and Patty Considine, I think you would pronounce it. And Patty Considine is an interesting actor, I think, who's been in a lot of British shows and is an actor with autism. So he does a pretty great job as a lead actor.
We do have one more film coming on Friday, and that's The Green Knight, which actually has also been streaming, but now is coming to the main theater.
It was released in the spring, and then it went to streaming, and they're releasing it on the big screen again. And I think this is one that you need to see on a big screen, okay. both with the sight and the sound. So Celebration Cinema said, if you'd like to have this as a film... And Dara said, of course.
Of course.
Well, tell me about what The Green Knight is about. Sorry, Dara.
Sorry. The film is the story of Sir Gawain, King Arthur's headstrong nephew, and embarks on a daring quest. I've heard it's a very different kind of film, so it won't be like what you might imagine. But I haven't seen it yet, so... I'm looking forward to seeing it in
another
the theater.
Arthurian. There have been so many adaptations, some of them comedies,
I know,
some of them,
I know.
You know, historical dramas.
Right. And some mashups of a little bit of both. And I think that's what this is. Dev Patel mm-hmm. is starring in it. And, you know, another young actor who's just showing up all over. And
that's right.
Does a good job every time. I haven't seen him falter yet.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him falter.
Well, at the beginning of the hour, I talked about how being in the circle here of the Kalamazoo Film Society does get me to try new things and watch new movies that I might not have just fallen back on my same old, same old. And in this case, I love what has come out of this time where we couldn't be together, and that is the virtual lobby discussions, which have been popular and seem like they're going as strong as ever.
Yeah, that's really one thing that we've gained from the pandemic is that time to all gather to discuss a film. And as Madeline had said earlier, you know, she's not sure she likes a film, and but then I think a lot of us come to a virtual lobby kind of with that, like, well, I'm not. And then with everyone talking about what they experienced or got gleaned from the film, your horizons just expand and you embrace and start looking at different things too. And we talked about cutting scenes and like, well, if you talk with other people, then your awareness becomes more acute. So we're really excited about the virtual lobby this Thursday. It's kind of our new, I don't know if you can call it a trend, but last year we decided when we started the virtual lobby, PBS has a short film festival. And last year, the winner was Drama Del Rosario with his In This Family short piece. And we thought, well, we will show that. It's streaming. It was safe for all of our members to watch. And then we thought, wait, we're on Zoom. Wherever Drama is, he could join us. And so we reached out to him, and he just embraced it. And it was wonderful.
And he was part of an interview,
I had a chance
to
talk to him as well. And it was really amazing to talk to the filmmaker and also, you know, be able to see it, as you said. In this case, also, you can just go and watch it. There's a link right on the CalFilmSociety.net page to see the short film. Drama was a terrific guest. And Thursday's guest is Dana Riley.
Right. And Dana Riley is a young filmmaker. She's just getting her MFA right now from the University of Texas. But she won with her film, Ms. Diva Trucker. She won the juried prize for the PBS shorts. It's a delightful film. Not just delightful. There's some depth to it.
There's heart. There's, you know, an interesting story. And you watch in less than 15 minutes this story of a woman whose life is unfolding and doesn't, as we all know, life doesn't always go where we think. But she is a big call truck driver or large, whatever the
term is. It's an 18-wheeler.
18-wheeler.
Yeah. Yep, somewhere.
And she, to combat the loneliness, she connects with people via YouTube. And she has a number of followers. And I would love to have lunch with both of them.
Right.
You know, and
right.
spend an afternoon just chatting with them.
So the diva trucker at the center of the short film is the subject of Dana Riley's it's a real person.
That's right. Her name is Tamara Brock. And I love how the film opens. She's doing her hair and in curlers, and she says, excuse me.
Sorry, Dan.
Sorry.
It's the tea. Too many tannins in
here. No. She says, well, you know, I have to learn how to do my hair because you can't pull an 18-wheeler into a beauty shop. And so she had to learn how to do her own hair. And then you see her. I told what friend of mine that she had on high heels, and then I rewatched it because in my mind, but she has on pink boots, long nails. She just is a diva, and it's a wonderful little film.
It's nice when you find I hadn't thought about women being truck drivers until I made a stupid joke on Facebook about wanting to help out with the shortages and the supply chain issues by becoming a trucker. And a woman trucker reached out and said, well, that's what I do. And I just suddenly had a real life experience with someone who's like, you should become one. We need them.
We need them. But there's also, you know, it's scary. I used to drive between Michigan and Louisiana routinely in an automobile. And there were a couple times when I was in a situation that I thought, get me out of here. And I can imagine. And I think, you know, how many fewer women there are driving, the resentment. But she just takes the slings and arrows and she just keeps walking. It's delightful, delightful.
And I think to have Dana with us, you know, we could ask her questions. How did she meet Tamara? How did you? And filmmakers can ask her questions. Oh, why this music? Why this structure?
Exactly.
The chance to do this is Thursday at 7 o'clock. You do not have to be a member of the Kalamazoo Film Society. In fact, there's a link that says contact us for Zoom details, and Dara or Madeline will send you a link to the meeting. And here's how they go. Generally, everyone kind of checks in. And Dara, you tend to introduce and start the or hand over the discussion pretty quickly.
Right. I welcome them. Chad Campbell and Mike Marchak often are the and will be our discussion leaders. But they're very sensitive to everyone who attends, and we look for everyone's opinion. So there's no domination, but we do get often some dialogue going back and forth. But to have the filmmaker here will just be such an added dimension to the discussion.
Your chance is Thursday at 7 p.m., a virtual lobby discussion presented by the Kalamazoo Film Society. Well, we've covered what's showing in Celebration Cinema. We know that there will be changes in just the next few weeks. It is the holiday season, and theaters often present really big tent pole kind of projects. One of them is Steven Spielberg's adaptation of West Side Story. And just a hint, I'm going to end with some of Bernstein's music for that. I did spend most of last week reading and listening to tributes to Stephen Sondheim, who passed away, and just deepened my appreciation for what he did for music theater. And now I'm off topic. Is there anything else we can tell listeners right now?
Just about the membership and how that supports you getting a discount at the theater, but it also supports, we're supporting local filmmakers with scholarships and grants. So it's something to think about how else that your membership can help in our community.
Madeline?
I couldn't agree more. That is important as part of our mission. The Film Society was started in 1988 to have a venue for independent art house films, and depending where we are, we've continued that. And a shout out to Celebration Cinema, mm-hmm. because we have brought 38 films and counting just this year, given everything that's gone on. And
and surprisingly good year for films,
right? Yeah. You know, some of it was that some of the films had been delayed, but I just think it's an exciting time. It's an exciting time. I love seeing more women directors and women in strong roles. That's important. Taking stories and showing the universality of us, you know, our common experiences or uncommon experiences that help us understand them. And I think that's important.
Well, Madeline Cimini and Dara Strauss, thanks once again for previewing your activities with the Kalamazoo Film Society here on Classical WMUK. And as soon as we turn off the mics, we'll set up another meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Here's music from West Side Story in an album from the Harlem String Quartet. They are the solo ensemble with orchestra in this recent recording. Mei-Ann Chen is the conductor.